tonight this week, KPLU has come to you with special coverage of the World Trade Organization meeting in Seattle. Now, here's our Thursday edition of The World Comes to Seattle with your host, KPLU business and labor reporter, Steve Krueger.
Good evening. President Clinton signs an historic international treaty against child labor. Sober discussion largely replaces street demonstrations in Seattle, and the city begins the process of healing as the mayor and police chief defend the actions of the riot squads. All of that and more as the World Trade Organization's third ministerial meetings continue. President Clinton signed that historic treaty today in Seattle. It would outlaw the worst forms of child labor, such as slavery and prostitution. KPLU's Paula Whistle reports.
Saying nations can't rise on the backs of children, the president put his signature on the treaty while labor and congressional leaders looked on. He called it a victory for the children who shock the conscience and haunt the soul.
Children who must handle dangerous chemicals or who are forced to sell illegal drugs. Children who crawl deep into unsafe mines. Children who are forcibly recruited into armed conflicts.
The U.S. is setting up a purchasing ban on goods made by forced or indentured child labor.
Just last week, the Customs Service banned the importation of certain hand-rolled cigarettes known as beedies because of evidence that one firm was making them with bonded child labor.
The treaty was drawn up by the International Labor Organization last summer. The ILO, as it's called, has no enforcement ability, although officials say it has moral authority around the world. Clinton stressed that banning child labor is good for business as well as labor.
We believe that everyone will be better off when children are given back their childhoods.
The treaty has nothing to do with the World Trade Organization, but Clinton is urging the WTO to make child and other labor standards part of the WTO. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.
Many of the protesters who've been arrested during this week have made their first court appearances. About 150 people were scheduled to be arraigned today in appearances that will last well into the night. KPLU's Dan Tridle has more.
The city's municipal court system has been so overwhelmed that temporary space has had to be reserved in the county courthouse. Byron Ward is a public defender in Seattle.
On a normal day, you're going to have about 50 people arraigned. And right now they're trying to do three times that amount.
Charges being brought against protesters range from blocking traffic to more serious offenses relating to vandalism and property damage. Judges are setting bail on a case-by-case basis with amounts up to $2,000. Court officials say protesters are a mix of local, out-of-state, and overseas. Incomplete arrest reports by police have delayed proceedings. Many demonstrators remain in jail. Friends and defense attorneys are concerned that people are being treated very poorly. Elizabeth Means from Santa Cruz, California, is worried about four friends, one of whom is 83 years old.
And they also took away the shoes and jackets, so I'm wondering whether she was warm enough. And there was no place to sleep, so I don't know where she slept last night. There were three cement benches in this cell and 12 people. So, you know, probably no sleep all night.
Another 225 protesters are expected to be arraigned on Friday. Dan Tridle, KPLU News.
And in a late development, those arraignments have come to a stop this evening because of a very large demonstration taking place outside the municipal building. Several hundred people are sitting in there and say they are going to stay until all of the protesters are released. After another night of confrontations between police and protesters on Capitol Hill, the mayor and the police chief called a press conference to explain their actions. KPLU's Bellamy Palethorpe was there.
Mayor Paul Schell is eager to put a positive spin on the course of events in a city where many innocent people are still angry that they've been gassed and hurt as police cleared streets for the WTO. Schell says he feels the city can be proud for hosting demonstrations that are having an effect on international policymakers. He also praised Seattle's overworked police force.
99% of the way the police conducted themselves under this intense, challenging circumstance is something you can also be proud of. I will not deny, and I'm sure there are circumstances that they are not pleased with and are wrong. And if there are incidences of police misconduct, I want to know about it. That is not acceptable.
Assistant Police Chief Ed Joyner admits seeing some officers breaking ranks during demonstrations, but he says the vast majority performed well.
What we experienced were overwhelming odds. More people, by far, who are bent on violent destruction than could reasonably be expected or prepared for. Against that, our cops stood their ground. They stood tall. I think they did a great job.
Mayor Schell says he took a calculated risk by not calling in the National Guard on day one of the WTO. He says that would have prevented Seattle from presenting itself as a city of free speech. Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.
And while city officials were defending the actions of police, the man who organized many of the protests that choked the city says he doesn't bear any responsibility for the disorder that prompted police actions. Michael Dolan says the blame belongs elsewhere.
I'm laying half the blame on the few bad apples. I'm laying the other half of the blame on the Seattle police for not getting them out of the barrel.
Meanwhile, Doug Honig of the American Civil Liberties Union says the city has gone too far in its efforts to control the activities of protesters.
The city has every right to take actions to ensure the security of delegates attending the WTO. And for some reason, that wasn't done adequately the first day. But the response since then, by setting up the no-protest zone and the limited curfew zone, has been an overreaction because it covers far more territory than is necessary to provide basic security for the WTO to function. And it basically limits the rights of a lot of other people in downtown who aren't doing anything at all illegal.
And just a few minutes ago, the city announced that it has reduced the limited curfew area in downtown Seattle. It now extends from Seneca to Pine, east and west, or north-south rather, and from the freeway to 4th Avenue until midnight tomorrow night. At one end of downtown Seattle, World Trade Organization delegates wrangle over how to further loosen trade restrictions on agriculture. At the other end, a gathering of small farmers from around the world says food is too important to treat as just another commodity. KPLU's Liam Moriarty reports.
Some of you will find the translation interpretation devices by your seat.
An enthusiastic crowd of 1,500 greeted speakers representing family and subsistence farmers. Their message? WTO policies meant to integrate agriculture into a seamless global market are a bad deal for small farmers. Anuradha Mittal with Food First says millions of farmers in India have been forced off their land in the past few years by the new trade policies.
When they say we are protectionists and they are the good doers, I think it's very important to hear people who are coming from the third world who say, don't do us any good. Leave us the way we are. We do not want to be like US. We want to be who we are.
WTO leaders, such as the United States, say everyone will be more prosperous when all the world's farmers can compete without subsidies and price supports. But Farhad Mazar, a farmer from Bangladesh, says food should not be placed at the mercy of the free market.
It is time for us to say to everyone, agriculture is not a sector of industrial production, it is a way of life, and it is not negotiable.
This is precisely the disagreement the WTO has been trying to resolve. Many developing countries, as well as Japan and the European Union, want to retain policies that protect their farmers from market uncertainties. Meanwhile, the U.S. is joined by Canada, Argentina, and other grain exporting nations that continue to push for opening foreign markets to their food producers. Liam Moriarty, KPLU News.
While environmental and labor activists have been focusing on teach-ins and peaceful protests concerning the World Trade Organization, pro-trade groups are carrying on with the business of opening up borders to their goods and services. KPLU's Donna Winch reports.
In the world of pro-trade groups, the rallies and calls for including environmental and labor issues within the WTO appears to be getting little sympathy. Diane Sullivan with the National Association of Manufacturers says if labor activists, for example, have concerns, they should pursue other avenues, such as the International Labor Organization. At the same time, Sullivan admits the ILO has no authority to demand or enforce change.
Heretofore, the International Labor Organization hasn't had the teeth that people would like it to have, and we agree. In fact, it's been a consensus body that hasn't really worked to monitor or enforce the principles that it is seeking to promote.
But at the same time, Sullivan says the ILO has recently issued a Declaration on Workers' Rights, which is designed to be a way of encouraging countries to improve working conditions. She says rather than apply sanctions like WTO members can, the teeth that the IOL has is international peer pressure. Thinking that where there's money, there's power, activists, however, say that labor rights and environmental standards should be directly linked to the WTO. Donna Winch, KPLU News.
And we have a brief correction to what I just told you about a few minutes ago about the curfew. This word just coming through, that in fact was the restriction area where if you don't have business to perform between Seneca and Pine and Freeway and 4th until midnight tomorrow night, please stay out of downtown. For the protesters in the streets of Seattle this week, a key issue has been the environment and how the WTO rules could be changed to make environmental protection part of the rules governing trade. The discussion over environment moved indoors today as the Seattle host organization sponsored a forum involving a number of the world's leading environmental experts. KPLU's environment reporter Keith Seinfeld sat in on some of the discussions. Keith, what are some of the specific things environmental activists want to see made part of the global trading system?
Well, let me give you two examples that are prominent. One is they want environmental assessments done on all new trade rules and agreements before they would go into effect, and in fact before they're signed, so we'd know what the impacts might be on the environment of opening up trade in a particular area. Another is they want permission to look at how goods are produced instead of right now if, for example, a load of shrimp arrives at a U.S. port. We can only look at what are the health status of those shrimp, for example, and they say we should be able to look at how were those shrimp farmed. Were they farmed in an environmentally destructive way? They want that permission.
Mm-hmm. And not all the countries agree on these things. There's some different points of view.
Yes, definitely. Interesting divisions, actually. The third world governments and environmentalists in the third world are against this agenda because they say the WTO is skewed in favor of U.S. and European values, that their environmental values are not necessarily the same. They don't trust the WTO to settle these kind of differences.
Keith Seinfeld, KPLU environment reporter. The WTO ministerial wraps up tomorrow. After this week, many people won't be very sorry to see the meeting end. The closing declaration is to be completed late tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with that story and some perspective on this very unusual week in the life of the Emerald City. For all of us here, I'm Steve Kruger, KPLU News.